You're listening to the Whatcom Report, a Bellingham Regional Chamber of Commerce program in partnership with KGMI.
Good morning and welcome to the Whatcom Report on KGMI News Talk 790. My name is Ray Deck, CEO at Scoop and Kids. I am serving as host this morning. And today we're talking with Marie McCarthy and Les Reardans, both from the Whatcom Transportation Authority. You know, among the many really cool initiatives of the Chamber of Commerce is a leadership development program called Leadership Whatcom. It's a really great way to spend one Friday a month. I highly recommend it. And anyway, I was in the 2016 class of Leadership Whatcom, and one of our sessions included a tour of and an introduction to our local transportation authority. And I really learned a lot. And at the time, WTA was engaged in a strategic planning process, you know, considering where to run new routes and things like that. It was really interesting to hear how those choices were being approached. Well, some time has passed since then, and WTA is once again doing some strategic planning. So we're going to talk about that. Stick around. Welcome back to the Whatcom Report on KGMI News Talk 790. My name is Ray Deck, CEO at Scoop and Kids, serving as host this morning. And joining me is Marie McCarthy and Les Reardans from the Whatcom Transportation Authority. Thank you both for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Ray, for having us.
Yeah, our pleasure to be on. Thank you.
So let's start with a primer. What is WTA?
So I'll get started, and since we're not in the same room, Les won't be able to kick me under the table if I miss something. So I will just count on him to jump on in. WTA's mission is to provide safe, reliable, friendly, and efficient service to our community. So that's our mission, and that's where it makes sense to start. We provide public transportation throughout Whatcom County, and we provide it mostly through two service types. One of them is fixed route, and one of them is called paratransit. Most people are familiar with fixed route buses. They come to prescribed stops at prescribed times, and people can just hop out spontaneously and take them where they need to go.
Yeah, they're kind of hard to miss.
That's right. Exactly.
I leapfrog a bus usually every morning, riding my bike the way in. So they're those are easy, but that's only half, you say.
That's right. That's only one part of our service. The other half is for people who would be on that fixed route bus. However, they have either a mental or physical disability that keeps them from riding. So that's called paratransit. And instead of just walking out to a prescribed place at a prescribed time and hopping on the bus and going, for that one, you call ahead in advance and determine a place that you'd be like to be picked up and dropped off. And just to give you kind of a sense of scale, we, in a normal year, not a COVID year, we provide about 4.5 million trips on fixed route, which is about 20,000 per average weekday. And we provide about 200,000 trips on paratransit, or about 750 per weekday.
Wow. Wow. I would have expected the size, that like those counts to be in exactly opposite. That's really interesting. So the paratransit, those vans and shorter buses that I see sometimes like out front of like grocery stores and places like that. Am I thinking of the right thing?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It's kind of a cross between a bus and a van, and you're very likely to see them in front of grocery stores, medical facilities. Pretty much anywhere people go.
Got it. So
if I could one small subset of that fixed route is also the County Connector. Maureen, if you want to talk a little bit about that, that would be great.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So County Connector is a neat partnership between WTA as well as Skagit Transit. We each operate about half the trips, and that allows us not only to serve Whatcom County, but also to serve in conjunction with our partners at Skagit Transit into Mount Vernon, and from there people can head on south all the way on public transit all the way down to Seattle and beyond.
Oh, that's interesting. So that program is how I would get on public transit from my, like, the closest bus stop to my house to into points into Skagit, and from there I could pick up something different and on further south. Is that
absolutely?
Am I understanding
right? Yeah.
Cool. I don't I don't know if this has become clear or not. I don't ride the bus often. I do occasionally. I like my two-wheeled model a little better, but it is handy, you know, when the rain or, you know, snow makes my my, you know, preferred method a little bit less convenient. For folks that maybe ride the bus even less than I do, what's it cost to get from A to B on WTA?
Sure. It's $1 a ride unless you purchase a pass, which frankly, most people who ride very often do. And then it's somewhere less than $1 a ride, which I think you can agree is a pretty good deal. The trip down to Skagit County is a little more expensive. That's $2 per trip, just to reflect the longer distance.
Yeah. Yeah. So how is WTA funded? You're right. $1 a ride is not very much. So given that it probably doesn't come just from fares, what are the other funding sources?
Sure. The largest portion of our operating funding comes from local sales tax. So we get most of our funding from that and fares, including the fares that when people come on and play $1 or purchase a pass, or the contracts that we have with some of our larger institutions, including Western Washington University and Whatcom Community College. All those kind of go in together to make up our revenue. But it's primarily from that local sales tax that you pay when you buy you know, a taxable item in Whatcom County.
Mm-hmm. What's the current status? I know COVID is affecting, you know, it feels like every aspect of our lives. And I understand you guys had some service changes as a result of COVID. What's the situation now? Full speed ahead?
Well, great question and a timely question. Back at the end of March, we reduced our service by about 30%. And we also saw our ridership drop by about 75%. Since then, in September, we brought back a little bit of service. And actually, I misspoke. I think initially our ridership drop was even more severe. But since that initial drop in March, both our service has come back a little bit and our ridership has come back a little bit, to the point where now we're operating at about, you know, we have about a 70, sorry, this is not a very clear way of saying this, but fixed route transit is down about 75%. From a normal year.
Yeah.
In thinking about that, with Western working virtually, about 40% of our ridership is Western, and so with them down, their ridership has dropped tremendously as well. For that reason, So when they come back, we expect ridership will also increase.
I imagine that's the case. And what's the fleet like? How many buses? It's a mixture of electric and diesel. Is that right?
Do you mind if I hop in just real quick on the prior question, Ray, which I appreciate, is one of the things we're driving towards is resuming service, full service in June, and then prepping for Western to come back in the fall. So you'll see full service coming back.
Excellent. That's great to hear.
Other thing I'll say is when we were talking about fares is during the COVID time, we haven't been collecting fares, which will resume most likely in July.
Okay. So the goal is return to full service by June, but fare collection won't resume for another month, give or take.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Just you're here to hear, folks. Go jump on a bus. So, yeah, I'm curious about the fleet. It's a mix. Is it a mix of diesel and electric buses? And how many buses do you maintain?
I believe our fixed route fleet is about 62 buses. 8 of those right now are hybrid electric buses. And I'm so glad you asked this question, Ray, because we have on the way our first 2 electric buses should be here within, I don't know, maybe 2 to 4 weeks. We will have our first brand new beautiful electric buses.
Wonderful. That's pretty cool. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Les, I want to spend some time chatting with you. As I understand it, you're relatively new in the role, and I want to find out what kind of person dreams about growing up to become the GM of a transportation authority.
It sounds good, Ray. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Whatcom Report on KGMI News Talk 790. My name is Ray Deck, CEO at Skookum Kids, serving as host today. And we're talking with Maureen McCarthy and Les Reardans, both of the Whatcom Transportation Authority. Thanks for being with us. This segment, I want to spend a little time, because Les, you're relatively new in the role of general manager. So I always like to ask, a key leader role like that, I like to ask about career trajectory. So how did you, I joked before the break, it's fairly rare the kind of person who dreams as a child of growing up to be the GM of a transportation authority. But how does your career trajectory, what did you set out to do and how did you wind up in the role you're in now?
Yeah, well, I will say buses are pretty cool. I remember as a kid that they're pretty fun having Matchbox buses. They are pretty fun. So it is pretty fun to be part of this organization from that standpoint.
Can confirm. Both of my boys, I have three toddlers and the two older ones. Yes, there's lots of excitement when WTA bus goes by.
Yes, yeah, it is pretty fun. So as far as career trajectory goes, lived here in Bellingham since 1998 and started up here working for the city of Bellingham for a number of years, including working on waterfront redevelopment with the Port of Bellingham for a while, and then moved down, lived up here but commuted down to Port of Everett and worked there for about 9 years, and then had this wonderful opportunity to get to come back to not just live here but work here in Bellingham as well and serve Whatcom County. So I felt like I was able to combine both leadership aspects of things with also in a community that I love and care about. So it was a great opportunity to come back.
Yeah, here since 98. That's great. I was going to say welcome to Whatcom County, but you've been here a while. That's excellent. I think we'll count you as a local. Yeah.
Well, it depends. If you're talking to fourth generation folks, I'm still a newbie, but
yeah,
but trying.
indeed. And Maureen, your role is sort of a community relations and a marketing role. So I'd love to hear similar, was it a dream of working in local government or transportation administration, or how is it that your career led to this serving in this role?
Well, let's see. I'll keep this fairly short. One of my first jobs was as a Alaska tour bus driver, and I was trained as a Western Washington University student to go and do that for several summers, which was absolutely great. After that, as a recent college grad, I lived and worked down in Seattle in the Alaska tourism industry, and at a certain point dreamed and just felt very clearly that my life and everything would be better if I could go back to Bellingham. And so as a Seattleite with this little bit of bus-related experience, I was delighted to find this particular job, thinking, wouldn't it be something if it all came back around and my first job became my next big job, and got me back to Bellingham, and almost going on 19 years later, here I am, still in buses, still in Bellingham, and very, very happy to be here.
Yeah, wonderful.
Bellingham and WTA is better for it, Marie.
Yeah, right, great.
And if I could say as well, Ray, that, I think one of the things that attracts people to WTA is this kind of mission of, connecting people to whether it's work or educational opportunities or healthcare or those kinds of things. It's a really cool opportunity to try to make the community a better place and really help people. And so as you talk to the bus drivers and the transit operators and folks that work here, it's really neat to hear, because that's what they will say, is it's a real opportunity for them to provide a service to people in their community, in our community. So that's what I think attracts people here to WTA.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an important part of our public infrastructure. You know, a lot of folks who, you know, rely on it, not just students. Students, you know, make up, as you mentioned, a significant percentage of your ridership. But, you know, I imagine that there are folks who live in even rural parts of the community that, you know, WTA bus once a day is their way to get in and out of town when they need it for supplies and prescriptions and appointments and whatever else. That's a long haul from Kendall and points east.
You know, that is so true, and I've known it all my 19 years here, but I have never seen it so clearly and so vividly as I have done, you know, through the pandemic, because we did at a certain point, you know, we were a little bit discouraged, you know, obviously by the lack of ridership, although it made perfect sense. People were being asked just to make essential trips. But what that did was make it even more noticeable, you know, who's out there and who's still riding, you know, and it's the people who need to get to dialysis three times a week. Oh, or, wow. Like you said, they need to get to the grocery store or to the pharmacy. And we ended up profiling some just delightful people and, you know, got their photos with masks on. And I even mean, you know, women in their 90s who are going to Winco twice a week with us and, you know, people who would have maybe otherwise lost their jobs and been counted among those who were unemployed during the pandemic, if not for, you know, being able to take the bus to their job in food service or in medical care. So, like I said, you know, we always see that, and that is an element of the people who ride the bus. But boy, when you ask everybody else to stay home, it becomes even more clear that that is really a lifeline for a lot of people. And I agree wholeheartedly with Les that you talk to a bus driver about why they keep coming to work every day and loving it. And it's because of that.
How does WTA compare in the universe of bus systems or transportation authorities like ours? Because we've got Whatcom County has got an interesting mix. It was a college town. So there are a lot of high volume, relatively short routes, and then we are this like bifurcated, you know, rural east and north part of the county with a dense, you know, Bellingham core population center here in Bellingham. I mean, it makes for an interesting mix of a service area, and I'm curious like how it like WTA and the amount of business, for lack of a better word, that you guys do relates to other transportation authorities.
Sure. Well, the comparison that we have most readily available is with other providers within the state. Mm-hmm. And if you look at WTA's what we call productivity, or the number of riders we carry per mile, we have been for years and years and years and years in the Washington state. And some people find that surprising because we know, you know, Seattle, for example, is sort of a national leader in transit ridership and that sort of a thing. But the number one spot actually goes to Pullman Transit. So you're very astute in saying that, you know, part of our ability to provide high productivity does have to do with being a university town. And if anything, you know, requirement and, you know, we're pleased to provide service all throughout the county, but that is sort of, you know, sort of a balancing factor, because you're right, we have fewer riders per hour on some of those longer rural routes. But we are, in terms of productivity, we do real well compared to our peers in the state.
Well, let's take a break, and then when we come back, let's talk about this new planning process that's underway right now. Welcome back once again to the Whatcom Report on KGMI News Talk 790. My name is Ray Deck, CEO at Skookum Kids, serving as host. Joining me today is Maureen McCarthy and Les Reardance from the Whatcom Transportation Authority, and we're going to talk now about the strategic planning process that WTA is engaged in. WTA 2040, perhaps the 2040 is in reference to a date? That's a guess. Les, can you tell us what this is all about?
Yeah, so the idea is to develop a long-range transit plan. So 2040 is, in fact, a 20-year cycle to get out to look over the horizon on what is transit going to look like over the next 20 years. So the process is underway now. There's been some work being done, community outreach and things throughout 2020, which, as you can imagine, has been a challenge in a COVID type environment. Those traditional open houses and things that are usually done, are a little more difficult, so more online and surveys and outreach and things of that nature. But the idea is to look over that 20-year period, try to take a look at how do we help optimize transit for the long haul. What's it going to look like into the future to help then guide decision making on services, equipment, infrastructure investments, things of that nature over that 20-year period.
And how often does a process like this go to? I mean, I would assume there's a that 20 years is a long time horizon. I would assume a plan like that gets updated more frequently than 20, or maybe you plan on different time horizons. How often does something like this go on?
So this 20-year look ahead, obviously, if you look back 20 years, there have been quite a few things that have changed over that time frame.
Yeah.
Part of that long-range plan is building in check-in points to, you know, check your assumptions. Is it still going in the right way? What technology has come along that nobody could anticipate at this point? Looking back 20 years and all the technology that's come along and horizon shows that you have to build flexibility into it, but it's a visioning document to help us kind of figure out, okay, where do we need to go, and then you start kind of cascading down to develop more operational implementation plans over that that time frame.
Maureen, what are the key issues being considered in this plan? Are we talking here about 20 years? Are we talking here about buses or trains or transporters, or what are 20 years from now? What are we thinking about?
Well, we haven't gotten quite that far yet. The place in the process where we are has us looking more at the community's values. So through our community engagement so far, we've been trying to sort out, what are the things that are most important in our transit decision-making. So, for example, four things have sort of, or the feedback we have gotten is sort of coagulating around four key values. One of them is equity. So how important is it that everyone have transit access to education, for example? Or how important is it that traditionally underserved populations have transit access to education, that sort of a thing in the equity realm. Another one is the environment, pretty self-explanatory. Another one is efficiency, having most to do with things like I mentioned before, the number of riders you carry per service hour. And another one is the rider experience. So, for example, a lot of people who are already riders, people like me, you know, the thing we care about most is how frequently is that bus coming? That's a big aspect of our rider experience. So, those are the four things that we're really focusing on right now. And a little further down the road, we'll talk about the types of things that you're talking about. Like once we know how we want to make our decisions and kind of define some of our problems, you could say, or challenges, then what types of things could help us solve those challenges?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that Maureen highlighted there that's important is that the plan will be grounded in community. So it'll be a thoughtful approach that's based on what the community's needs and desires and demands are.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm remembering from my trip to WTA a few years ago that I forget exactly what you call it, but the governance is a committee of some sort, and it's made up of representation from various local some from the city, some from the county. My grasp on it is somewhat loose.
You've got it just right. The ultimate authority at WTA, the real decision makers, are our board of directors, They are made up of the county executive, the mayor of Bellingham. Those are the only two that have to be that person or that position, but
right.
Every other city in the county has, and the county has representation as well. So for example, right now we also have the mayor of Linden and a couple folks from city council, a couple folks from county council, someone who represents the city of Everson. So, it's a a nine-member board plus one. We also have the president of our ATU, our local union, who is a non-voting member. But they are all elected officials from all the jurisdictions within Whatcom County.
Mm, yeah.
And then they elect a chair to run it, who is Michael Lilliquist, Bellingham City Councilman.
Aha, yes. Also, for my visit, you know, to WTA with Leadership Whatcom, the topic of that. So the way Leadership Whatcom works, it pairs a leadership topic with a part of the community, you know, and so you're learning about, you know, a lot of times in the morning, it's you're learning studying a particular aspect of leadership, and then the afternoon you're visiting, you know, a part of the community where presumably that aspect of leadership is practiced. And the day we visited WTA, the topic was ethics, which might seem odd, but there's some interesting ethical considerations in this kind of a plan. Like, you know, Maureen, you talked about the, you know, starting from the community values, but sometimes, you know, an ethical dilemma is when your values conflict with one another. So, you know, do you help the most people or help people who are in the most need? So do you add another GO line to and from Western that will see thousands of riders that would be consistent with the value of efficiency? Or do you do one more daily run to Kendall that would cost roughly the same, much lower ridership, but potentially serving people who are much more dependent on that service? So could you talk a little about how, you know, the board and maybe WTA as a whole approaches these kinds of ethical questions when its values, you know, sometimes are maybe in tension with one another?
Sure. Yeah, that's an excellent one that you have named. I'll just throw out another one, too, while we're having this discussion is, you know, rider experience versus the environment. So, for example, right. I mentioned as a rider, the thing I care about the most is how frequently, how many choices do I have when I leave in the morning? If I miss one bus, do I have to wait an hour for the next one? And then you put that against the environment. Well, an electric bus, sadly, costs more than twice as much as a diesel bus. So, that's a trade-off as well. If we wanted to move towards an electric bus scenario within our current funding program, that would mean we would have fewer buses to provide less service. So you're absolutely right that those four key values do sometimes bump up against one another. And as far as how the board deals with that, and I'd be interested in Les's thoughts too, that's a big part really of what this Whatcom 2040 plan or WTA 2040 plan is meant to do, is to sort of facilitate conversations around that so that it really can be their will and their ideas that shape how we chart our course forward through those things.
Yeah, I think Maureen hit it right on the head, is that's why it's can be grounded in what the community values are, because there are those, as you articulated, Ray, there's those trade-offs that that come with those decision-making things. And so that's kind of what this long-range plan is designed to do, is pull out those community values and in a thoughtful way kind of lay out those factors and criteria. You know, where can you get a good bang for your buck, and how do you serve those folks, and quite honestly, where do you value that service? And so that's why talking to the community and trying to get that feedback is so important. So to that end, I'll just put in a shameless plug that folks can go to WTA2040.org and kind of track what's going on this and find some points of contact to input on.
I love it. Learn more about your transportation authority, WTA2040.org, you said?
Org. Yes, sir.
.org. Very good. All right, we're going to take another break, and then when we come back, I want to ask you guys about the intersection between transportation policy and housing policy, which is an area I've been very interested in recently. And welcome back to the Whatcom Report on KGMI News Talk 790. My name is Ray Deck, CEO at Skookum Kids, serving this morning as host. And joining me is Maureen McCarthy and Les Reardans from the Whatcom Transportation Authority. And I want to talk about transportation and housing. This is a subject I've been, you know, finding pretty interesting. The the way that housing policy is sometimes written, it seems like, with no awareness of where the transportation infrastructure is, or the other way. And there, you know, there are a lot of examples of this, you know, those two policy areas sort of being out of touch with one another from around the country. And here in Washington, much of our zoning and housing policy is a product of the Growth Management Act. And I'd love to hear, you know, what parts of the GMA and housing policy in general interact with a transportation policy and WTA's planning?
Sure. So let's see. I guess the aspect of that I'm most familiar with are the ways that we have interacted with the city of Bellingham. I know that's not exactly what you're asking, but forgive me because I'm not a planner. So you're absolutely right that we mentioned that our mission is to provide safe, reliable, healthy, and efficient service. And the way that housing development, all development really, but specifically housing development, is enacted has a major influence on WTA's ability to provide efficient service. So before I talk about how we have worked with the city, I'll just quickly ask you to imagine a scenario, or listeners to imagine a scenario where you have a square mile of residences, mostly single home, maybe multiple garages with cul-de-sacs, right? And then imagine a square mile of housing where you have some single family homes, maybe some of them even have accessory dwelling units or a place where another person could live, say in a daylight basement or maybe in a room over the garage. And you've also got a mix of triplexes and duplexes, maybe some apartments and condos, right? Where that second type of development is allowed and encouraged and maybe even incentivized, WTA can provide the kind of transit that people want and the kind that the people will ride, you know, because it can be frequent and direct in a way that lower density, that first example, and sort of that looping cul-de-sac design is much more difficult for us to serve. So that is sort of the first thing that comes to mind in answer to your question. And one of the things that we've done in working with the city is, you mentioned the GO lines earlier, and for people who don't know, that is a place where the bus is coming every 15 minutes. And we worked very carefully with the city to make sure that our map of GO lines overlaid on the city's map of urban villages was a match, because those are places that both the city can help to, like I said, encourage, incentivize people to develop in a certain way, and that WTA can then count on that and have the ability to provide, again, that kind of frequent and direct service and tap into a larger group of people, a denser housing environment.
Yeah, you mentioned Seattle. I think you're right that the Seattle Transit winds up in the news a lot more often than you guys, or maybe you guys are successful at staying out of the news more effectively than Seattle Transit is. Some of that's difference in mode, like they have a mix of bus and train, and the train would be a metro. I think the light rail, it would be, you know, it's more expensive to lay rail and build a station than it is to reroute a bus line. So it makes a system like WTA more nimble than Seattle Transit would be. Are those the key differences? Are there others?
Well, that is absolutely true. The other thing I would say is that to provide frequent bus service is just, you know, astronomically less expensive than it is to provide rail. And so, you know, you really need to have much greater densities, which, you know, Seattle does have in some places, as well as, you know, people going from a shared origin to a shared destination in order to make that happen. So for us, you know, I think if we were to have a big dream, it wouldn't be a big dream of rail, but it might be a big dream of something called bus rapid transit, where instead of a bus coming every 15 minutes, maybe you have a bus coming every 7 minutes.
You beat me to it. I was going to ask, what's the big dream, you know, when you imagine the transportation infrastructure of the future? So bus rapid, where it's the buses are moving more quickly, it becomes almost easier to ride a bus down the block than to walk down the block.
Exactly. And this is another thing that we are working on with the city. I mean, kind of just these little aspects of bus rapid transit we are already working on with them. So, for example, on a bus rapid transit line, you would have something called signal priority, where as a bus is rolling towards the signal, if it's going to turn yellow, we can allow it to stay yellow until we get through that intersection.
Oh, that's the coolest.
And, so that's sort of like a little fun bits of bus rapid transit light. Ideally, what would be great is to have buses, you know, travel in their own travel lane, in which case we could do, you know, kind of what you were suggesting, which is, you know, kind of get up there and actually compete with the speed of a car. You can imagine, you know, Sunset or Lakeway or some of these other interchanges where our GO lines go through. If we not only had priority, but even a lane, we could start to get a little more competitive with the time it takes to drive through.
You know, all green lights and have, you know, a dedicated bus lane, that might convince me to give up my bike. I don't know. By 2040, my lungs will be less young, and so that might convince me alone. Yeah.
Well, we won't be trying to get you off your bike. We're all for that as well.
In the meantime, you can put your bike on the front of the bus and
ride
it that way.
Yes, yeah. I have done that. That is quite nice, especially on a rainy day. Or up Lakeway, frankly, that hill. Some days I just don't have what it takes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Well, thank you both. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
The purpose of the Whatcom Report is to connect our community to the issues that affect Whatcom County, like we did today with in our discussion with the folks from the Transit Authority. To this end, the Bellingham Regional Chamber of Commerce presents this program weekly to talk about the subjects that affect business in our area. Your Bellingham Regional Chamber of Commerce is committed to five things: creating a strong local economy, promoting the community, providing networking opportunities, representing the interests of business with government, and facilitating factually grounded dialogue with business. For more information about the chamber, visit the coolest URL around, bellingham.com, or call 360-734-1330. That's all for us today. Have a great morning.